Our study tonight is out of the book of Ezekiel, chapter 30, verses 1 through 19, God's fearful judgment on Egypt for her sin. When God gave the law to Moses on Mount Sinai, he did so amid shocking displays of his great divine power, so that the people of Israel were afraid of the Lord. You'll recall there were lightnings and thunderings, there was a great big cloud of smoke, and the Mount Sinai, which is a solid piece of granite, was shaking and the rocks were splitting just with the very presence of God. And when God spoke, it was as though it was a ram's horn that was getting louder and louder and louder, and it terrified the people. So they even asked that Moses speak with God and then relay his word to them. For they were afraid to hear God speak directly to them. That was in recorded for us in Exodus chapter 20, verses 18 to 19. Well, Scripture often presents the great value of respecting the Lord. And Ezekiel chapter 31 to 19 in the English Standard Version is one such passage. So we view it for our insight as follows and edification. I want to read the passage and then we'll look at Ezekiel chapter 31 to 19. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Howl ye, woe worth the day. For the day is near, even the day of the Lord is near. A cloudy day it shall be the time of the Gentiles. And the sword shall come upon Egypt, and great pain shall be in Ethiopia, when the slain shall fall in Egypt, and they shall take away her multitude, and her foundation shall be broken down. Ethiopia and Libya and Lydia and all the mingled people and Chub and the men of the land that is in league shall fall with them by the sword. Thus saith the Lord, they also that uphold Egypt shall fall. The pride of her power shall come down. From the tower of Syene shall they fall in it by the sword, saith the Lord God. And they shall be desolate in the midst of the countries that are desolate, and her cities shall be in the midst of the cities that are wasted. And they shall know that I am the Lord when I have set a fire in Egypt, when all her helpers shall be destroyed. And that day shall messengers go forth from me in the ships to make the careless Ethiopians afraid, and great pain shall come upon them as in the day of Egypt, for lo, it cometh. Thus saith the Lord God, I will also make the multitude of Egypt to cease by the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. He and his people with him, the terrible of the nations, shall be brought to destroy the land. They shall draw their swords against Egypt and fill the land with the slain. And I will make the rivers, or that would be the streams of the Nile dry, and sell the land into the hand of the wicked. And I will make the land waste, and all that is therein by the hand of strangers. I, the Lord, have spoken it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will also destroy the idols, and I will cause their images to cease out of Noph. And there shall be no more prince of the land of Egypt, and I will put a fear in the land of Egypt. And I will make Pathros desolate, and I will set fire in Zoan, and will execute judgment in No. I will pour my fury upon Sin and the strength of Egypt, and I will cut off the multitude of No. And I will set fire in Egypt. Sin shall have great pain, and No shall be rent asunder, and Noph shall have distresses daily. The young men of Avon and of Pibeseth shall fall by the sword. These cities shall go into captivity. At Tahaphanes shall the day shall be darkened, also the day shall be darkened, when I shall break there the yokes of Egypt, and the pomp of her strength shall cease in her. As for her, a cloud shall cover her, and her daughters shall go into captivity. Thus I will execute judgments in Egypt, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Okay, this prophecy, Ezekiel chapter 31 to 19, especially in the New International Version, against Egypt is composed of four sections, each starting with a phrase, this is what the Lord, or this is what the sovereign Lord says. The section starts in verses 2 to 5, then verses 6 to 9, verses 10 to 12, and then verses 13 through 19. So we view those sections that describes Egypt's frightening punishment from the Lord. The emphasis throughout this entire passage of Scripture was an emphasis on how God is going to bring fearful judgment. It's a judgment that is going to create fear. And there's a purpose for this, what God has in mind. We'll get to it. In Ezekiel 31 to 5, it emphasized the comprehensive nature of God's coming destruction in Egypt. Comprehensive means widespread. God's prophet was to call for wailing due to the calamity that would come upon Egypt, a time of gloom and doom for not only Egypt herself, but for the nations with whom she had dealings. The Lord would bring an invading army to kill Egyptians and cause Ethiopia, which is on the southern border of Egypt, to be in anguish as Egypt's wealth would be carried away as booty by the invaders and her city foundations torn down. Besides Egypt, her allies of Ethiopia, Libya, Lydia on the west coast of Asia Minor, and all the foreigners residing within the land of Egypt, they would fall by the sword along with the Egyptians. So you're going to have widespread death, widespread destruction. And remember, Egypt is a very established nation. It's not just a little country that's an easy pushover. Egypt has never been overcome this comprehensively before. Then Ezekiel 30 verses 6 to 9 emphasize the destructions of Egypt's mercenary allies within the borders of Egypt. Those who supported Egypt would fall. Those who caused her to be proud in her might with such allies, people living in her borders from Migdol to Aswan in the south, the northern and southern extremities of the land, their cities being laid waste by the invaders. In other words, the invaders were going to conquer everything, right from the top of the nation all the way down. There's not a bit of Egypt that would escape. So everybody was going to feel the brunt of this. Egypt's allies living within her borders would thus know that God was the Lord when he had set fire to Egypt and when all her allies would be broken as to their supportive power of Egypt. It's interesting, Egypt was relying quite heavily at this time on a lot of mercenaries that they had. These would be foreign soldiers that they hired, and they were living within Egypt. And the idea was to pay them, because Egypt was quite wealthy and could afford it, pay them so that a lot of their own men didn't have to do the fighting. And that was the idea. Anyway, Egypt's news of Egypt's destruction would spread rapidly, causing panic among her allies as ships would take messengers up the Nile south to Ethiopia to announce Egypt's fall. You have to remember, in Egypt, up is south and down is north. The reason is the land was high in the southern part, and that's why the Nile River flowed from south to north. And it flowed down, going north, up to the Mediterranean Sea. So when we say up, it means going south. When we say down, we're going north in Egypt. Very different from the way we normally think of up and down. And then Ezekiel chapter 30, verses 10 through 12, emphasize the tremendous destruction of Egypt by Babylon's king Nebuchadnezzar. God said that he would use Babylon's king Nebuchadnezzar to put an end to Egypt's wealth, he with his soldiers being the most ruthless of the nations, coming in to fill the land with the slain. You know, it's amazing that God would use a nation like Babylon, and they were known for their ruthlessness. They've unearthed skeletons of people I know in Israel who were killed by the Babylonians. And it's just amazing the devastation that they did to the human bodies and the ruthlessness. But he and his soldiers were the most ruthless of the nations. They would come and they would fill the land with the slain. The Lord promised to dry up the streams of the Nile. These would be streams leading into the Nile, giving the land to foreigners from Babylon who would destroy the land and everything in it. This is amazing. We toured Egypt on our last time home from Africa. My dad paid $800 and was able to get a jet from Kano, Nigeria, over to Cairo, Egypt, and we toured Egypt. And you look at some of these ancient pyramids and so forth. It's stunning when you get up close and see these things, how majestic they were, and the tremendous amount of work that went into it. And here the whole land of Egypt was going to be devastated. It's amazing to think about that. Well, anyway, in verses 13 to 19, Ezekiel emphasizes the many places in Egypt that would be destroyed by God's judgment. Egypt was a very established nation. It had been around a long time, and so they had a lot of cities that were advanced. Like in the United States, we've got Chicago, we've got San Francisco, Los Angeles, New Orleans, New York City, Boston, These are relatively big cities. And wouldn't it be something if an army came in and one by one absolutely leveled all of these cities? That would be a shock to us as a nation. Well, that's what it was like to the Egyptians. God would destroy the idols of Memphis. We have a city by the name of Memphis in Tennessee, but it comes actually from this city in Egypt. And Memphis was known for its many idols. And there would no longer be a prince in the land, causing fear to abound there. The princes would gain their power and their support from belief that the god or the gods involved were helping them. But there wouldn't be any more princes because they had destroyed all the idols. Pathros, a synonym for Upper Egypt, would be made a desolation according to verse 14. Zoan, a royal residence in the Delta region, that's way up north, which is down near north, would be set on fire. Thebes in southern Egypt, Egypt's longtime capital, would face the judgment of God. Pelusium, about a mile from the Mediterranean Sea on the Delta, which was a major military center that guarded the northern entrance to Egypt from the Mediterranean Sea, it would face God's wrath by means of the Babylonians. In other words, the Babylonian soldiers with great fury would destroy the soldiers that were there. The young men of Heliopolis, a major religious center during much of Egypt's ancient history and located just south of the Delta, and of Bubastis, another important religious center in Lower, which would be northern Egypt, would fall by the sword, the women of these cities being taken into captivity. At Tapanes, near the present Suez Canal, where Pharaoh's palace resided, would experience the gloom of destruction and defeat by the Babylonians. Her daughters going into captivity, and a number of these daughters, of course, would be royal daughters. These would be princesses. They would go into captivity. In summary, God said he would execute judgment on Egypt, and they would know that he was God. I was struck by this as I was studying this passage on not only the devastation, but the shock that this is going to produce to people. So the lesson is God pronounced dreadful, comprehensive, and thus fearful judgment on all Egypt for its sin. So may we realize that when God punishes sin, he does so with breathtaking severity in every way, so that we learn to revere him and thus depart from evil. In Exodus 20, verse 20, Moses responded to the people who said, why don't you speak with God and then you tell us what God said, but don't let us hear God because we're just scared. And Moses said, don't be terrified of the Lord. What he's trying to do is to cause you to respect him so that you'll depart from sin. Because if you depart from sin, he doesn't have to punish you. He wants to bless you. But he knows you got sin in you, and so he's got to put the fear of God in you so that you'll depart from sin. When I typed up this message, I had just finished typing that application, and I had just begun to do some work on spelling changes and, you know, changing the vocabulary here and there. And all of a sudden, the electricity in the church went out. Now, I was on the computer, okay? So the computer went out, and I got the sickening feeling, oh, when was the last I saved this? Do I have another hour and a half work of doing this to do this all over again? But it hit me that the shock, the little bit of a shock that I was feeling, was actually applying the concept of this lesson that was here. This was designed to be a shock to the people upon hearing it. And I learned the lesson. 5 minutes later, the lights came on and everything, so I booted up the computer, and I was grateful to find out what the programming on my computer provides a special protection. It said, this is what you were working on when you last. Do you want that to be your document, or you want this? And so I had the beautiful privilege of making a choice, and so I didn't lose my work. So it's very nice to have that neat little part in the program. But I've been on computers before where you lost the whole thing. Had to go back and do it all over again. But I was struck by the timing. That's why I mentioned here the God's time. The timing of that event to get me to identify with the idea of shock. This is actually a very simple lesson, but it's actually profound because God does want us to take him seriously. So if we're toying with the idea of committing sin, or if we are in a state of sin in some way, God really wants us seriously to repent of that, correct? Because if we don't, when God gets around to punishing, I'll tell you what, it is breathtakingly overwhelming. You don't want to go there. It's like the sign that they used to have up here at the garage at the corner of Walmart and everything. They had a sign outside in front of the garage that said, "Don't even think of parking here." Well, God would say, "Don't even think of sinning. Just depart from it." So may we take the Lord seriously and depart from sin, examine ourselves. I don't want to put anybody on a guilt trip. I couldn't think of a particular sin of my own, but it caused me to stop and think very seriously about living a life of righteousness with all sincerity before the Lord.